Education has been defined as a presentation of facts which invites discussion and debate so that knowledge can be expanded. The foundation of this process is called truth. One fact about truth is that sometimes it can be challenging and even uncomfortable. That fact has created a drastic change in the education process. Discussion and debate, they've been replaced with suppression and denial. Facts have been overtaken by feelings. What's needed has been cast aside by what I want. The result are minds coming out of universities which expect to be appeased, more than have demands placed on them. Had all this happened, did the students take over the system, or has the system surrendered to the students? This became a concern for my next guest, who wrote an open letter to a student body which went viral. That compelled him to write the book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning the Truth. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Dr. Everett Piper, thank you so much for being here today, doctor.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always honored to join you. Appreciate it.
And a couple of websites for Dr. Piper. The obvious is everettpiper.com. And learn more about Oklahoma Wesleyan University. It's okwu.edu. And again, the book is Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning the Truth. There are, when people get into what you've put the focus on and Not a Daycare, yeah, the stories about the trigger warnings and safe zones, they can provoke a laugh maybe and a chuckle along with the obligatory concern. But I think there's an underlying message that you present with Not a Daycare, that there are some, obviously, on the left who feel that if you can control the education process, you can control ideas. You control ideas, you control pretty much the whole ballpark. Am I sort of on the right mission there?
Spot on. I like to harken back to Richard Weaver's seminal work in 1948. He wrote a book. It was titled Ideas Have Consequences. And what was his point? Ideas have consequences. They matter. There's no such thing as moral neutrality. There is no such thing as a neutral idea. All ideas are going to bear fruit. And good ideas bear good culture, good community, good kids, good government. Bad ideas will bear the opposite. Like your grandmother said, garbage in, garbage out. She was right. And why is 1948 important in citing Richard Weaver's work? The reason he wrote it is he was looking back just a few short years earlier to Hitler, who said, "Let me control the textbooks and I will control the state." Richard Weaver was saying, this was predictable. World War II was as sure as the sunrise because we were teaching bad ideas. And when you consume ideological carcinogens, if you will, you're going to get cancer of the heart, mind, and soul. Weber was warning that we should attend to our ideas because what we teach in the classroom will be practiced tomorrow in our culture, in our courts, and in our communities.
I always thought when I was going through the education process that, especially when I got to college and I was paying money, challenge me, expand my vision, fix where I'm wrong, help me further strengthen where I have the understanding. But the scenario and the scene that you present in Not a Daycare seems more like, well, the universities have become indeed a daycare.
Exactly. You know that the reason I wrote the book in the first place was because of that op-ed that I wrote 2 years ago that you cited. I actually had a kid at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, we are as conservative and Christian as you can get, and we're clear about that when we recruit a student. Nobody comes here thinking that we're neutral on the conservation of time-tested truths, those self-evident truths that are endowed to us by our Creator, a Judeo-Christian ethic. We ground our educational paradigm in those principles, and we don't apologize for it. But in spite of that, I had a kid who came forward after a chapel service that was on 1 Corinthians 13, the quintessential love chapter of the Bible, and he said he was offended by it. He said he had been singled out and he had been made to feel uncomfortable. Well, my response to him in my op-ed was, well, you know that feeling of discomfort you had? It's called your conscience. A good sermon is supposed to make you feel a little guilty because our goal is your confession, not to coddle you and comfort you. I want you to become a man of character. I'm not going to sit around and give you a participation trophy. Then I concluded by saying, my land, this is a university, it's not a daycare. The thing went viral, 3.5 million people viewed it, and thus it's led to this book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth.
And we're talking with his author, Dr. Everett Piper, everettpiper.com. He is the current president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. On the web, it's okwu.edu, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. mentioned in the introduction, you can look at the finger of fault in a variety of directions. And you write about, too, how the universities themselves, especially those founded on Christian tenets, have not just wandered, they've all but rejected what they were founded on, to the point where if you approach some of these college leaders, for lack of a better word, and ask them to explain what the university motto is, never mind explain it, they can't even recite it.
No. For example, and we know this, every Ivy League institution was founded on a biblical worldview, a Judeo-Christian model, except for one. Every one of them. Harvard, for example, its original charter called for this, to lay Christ at the bottom as the foundation of all. So Harvard was founded very clearly to lay Christ at the bottom as the foundation for all learning. Berkeley, the quote-unquote birthplace of the free speech movement, still to this day has the motto, "Let there be light," a clear biblical reference to Genesis. The Northwestern University references Philippians, but they don't even know that it comes out of the Bible and that the pursuit of truth and everything that is true and just and noble, this reference to Philippians is something they don't even know the source. My point is this. We've got a prodigal university, if you will. Our heritage is rich, deeply grounded in veritas, Latin for truth, a word that's still on Oxford's shield some 1,000 years after it was founded. But we've abandoned truth. We've supplanted it with opinions. We actually think it's better to celebrate an opinion today rather than to pursue what's true. We actually believe that we're the authors of everything that's right and real rather than those things being endowed to us by something bigger and better than what we see in the mirror. This is a very dangerous thing for us to enter into, because when we become the measuring rod, rather than having a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, i.e. C.S. Lewis's quote, then we are going to lose our freedom. Whenever you get rid of truth as the measuring rod of the debate, you don't get freedom, you get fascism, and that's what you see prevailing on the campus green today, ideological fascism rather than academic freedom.
So flipping over to the student side of the equation, is this because the students haven't been empowered with the desire to be challenged, or are they just self-defeatists and don't want to be challenged and don't want to be told, oh, dear God, I'm wrong?
Well, I would argue my industry, higher education, the academy, the ivory tower, is guilty of creating this monster, and it's turning around to bite us. We've been teaching kids for decades, 30, 40, 50 years, go back as long as you want to go, to be self-absorbed and narcissistic. Well, why are we surprised to see narcissism and self-absorption in the campus green and in the college today? Of course they're going to behave according to the ideas we've told them to believe. However, what I'm seeing today is that the Imago Dei, the truth of God, the image of God printed on every human heart, mind, and soul, rises up and it searches for an answer. C.S. Lewis told us that hunger, that food was made for hunger, and that water was made for thirst. In other words, we always search for the things that satisfy, satiate the desire. We have a yearning in the human heart and soul for truth, for justice. Why do we hear these calls for social justice today? Well, there's a hunger in the human heart for the things that are right. The question is, if you want justice, who's the judge? Is there a judge with a capital J, or is it you? This is the thing we need to challenge these kids with, and I think they're dry sponges just waiting to soak up the water of truth if we would just dare to give it to them.
Some would say, too, when you write about this as well and not a daycare, that maybe there is that proverbial lost generation, but the generation that is heading toward the university system, it's time for parents to take a rooting interest in what they're sending their son, daughter off to.
Spot on. I've said many a times on programs such as yours and others that we need to stop sending our kids off to these institutions that teach this pablum. Why are parents paying for this nonsense? You're dropping $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 on the barrelhead per year to send your kid off to an institution that will take pride in tearing down everything that you tried to instill in the kid for the first 18 years of his life. That institution will smile and take joy in tearing out of that kid in the first 18 minutes as you drive away from campus. Why do parents think this is going to work? The data shows that 70% of our sons and daughters walk away from their faith and their conservative convictions by the time they're juniors in college. Do you think it has anything to do with us spending money to send them off to indoctrination camps that take pride in tearing our view and our Judeo-Christian ethic and the ideas of a constitutional republic down rather than celebrating those ideas and shoring them up?
Remember when I forget which specific one it was. There was a tragedy, a death, or killing at a school, and someone on the left asked me, "Well, where is your God when all this was happening?" And my response was, "You guys tossed him out of the school."
Spot on. We have expunged higher education from any discussion, any debate that's relevant to the higher ideas, the first things, the bigger ideas, the better ideas, the laws, if you will, as opposed to the licentiousness. You know, G.K. Chesterton said, when you get rid of big laws, you don't get liberty, but rather thousands of little laws that rush in to fill the vacuum. We can't live by 10 simple laws any longer, and Jesus narrowed it down to 2, and as the result, we get lawlessness, and we get license, and we get thousands and thousands of little laws imposed upon us by government, down to the point where they're telling us how to use the bathroom. Your answer was spot on. When you expunge God, when you kick God out of the educational equation, you don't get liberty, you get anarchy. And the solution to anarchy without God is always tyranny, and that is antithetical to freedom.
The book is Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning the Truth. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. EverettPiper.com, OKWU.edu. Dr. Everett Piper, you have indeed issued the wake-up call that is going to raise a lot of awareness and I think make the parents of this country a lot more proactive versus reactive. And thank you for being here.
Oh, honored. Thank you so much for having me on.